welcome to Sugar House Journal. Start it up, Ivor.
Okay, I just started up the Chevy Volt. We're going to try giving that a little test drive here. And we're in Skowhegan, Maine, and we're just trying out this car called the Chevy Volt.
What's the big deal about the Chevy Volt, Ivor?
The Chevy Volt is an all-electric car, but it has a battery, battery on all the time, but it has a gas backup, which will charge the thread everything out. And we just got started, and you can see there's a backup camera, which is kind of neat, and it says check surroundings for safety. And we're driving all electric, so
there's no sound.
Any noise?
I was
going to
say, when are you going to start it? That's kind of cool.
No noise at all.
Holy,
which is a neat car, but I got to kind of find a good spot I can get out of here.
Yeah,
I'll go up in here a little bit.
And today, what is the date today?
Today is, I think, the 28th, is it?
Right, 28th of April, seasonably cold day.
Yeah. We have no problem knowing what day it is because that's on this computer screen also. I'm going to, but I'm just trying to get back a little bit. Tell me if I'm on the road at all.
Not yet.
Not yet? Okay.
You've got plenty of room, though.
I'm good. I'm just trying to make sure. I'm okay. Oh, yeah, look at that. Look at my backup camera.
Oh, wow. No, I was actually using backup camera.
There's a backup camera.
It's a whole new paradigm.
It is.
It's
a very quiet car.
That could be the slogan. A whole new paradigm of driving.
Well, I think so. And I think, you know what? I think that the Chevy people have knocked it out of the park with this car. But the problem is, the brand itself is not the brand that most people who buy this type of vehicle want to have.
Why?
I wish they had called it something else. They could have called it a Saturn or something, or they could have had it be its own brand. But it is a kind of a very, very nice car for what it is. Right now we're going 29 miles per hour, no sound at all, no gasoline, no nothing. And it always tells you how much charge you have left. And it says 37 miles. We have 37 miles left to the bottom of our charge. And it says we can go 145 miles on the amount of gas and electric we have.
Right.
So total range is 182 miles. So we're moving along with absolutely no gas at all right now up the hill in Skowhegan, Maine.
Now, the neat thing about the Volt is that it's a plug-in.
Yeah, it's a plug-in electric.
And it uses the same electrical setup that you have at your house. It doesn't need a special charger like the Nissan Leaf, right? It doesn't need any new charging infrastructure built, correct?
Yeah, you don't have to build, you don't have to have a special charger built. You don't have to do anything for this car. So theoretically, especially if you were commuting less than 40 miles a day, you could basically spend no gas at all. Never buy gas. Never spend a penny on gas. Of course, you can have a little bit of electricity, but from our experience with a much, much smaller electric car, from a neighborhood electric vehicle, it costs practically nothing to drive around on electricity.
Right. You have a gem car, right? It's an all-electric, all-battery, really small little car, right?
Yeah, it's called a neighborhood electric vehicle, and it's a gem car made in the USA, and Chrysler owned it for a little while. But they had to sell it because they were making money.
So we're stopped right here, and it's completely silent.
This is
really weird.
Completely silent, and then you start pulling ahead here, and you know, you look around and you can see everybody else around us is burning huge amounts of gas. Since I think the average person in Somerset County in Maine has to have something that gets the gas mileage of a school bus. I think it's required.
Right. Now, this is different from previous electrical vehicles, like the EV1 from the 90s. How? It's a four-door. It's a five-seater, right?
Yeah, and it's just sort of a basic sedan. It's an awful lot like the Chevy Cruze or any of the other small cars that you see around. You know, it's not. It doesn't feel that small though to me. It feels like a mid-sized sedan, actually.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like a typical mid-sized sedan. But it's, I think it's an amazing piece of technology because this is a car that the average person could really save money with. You know, I mean, the initial purchase price is a lot.
Which is what? I think it's like 35K or something?
Yeah, it's like 40,000, you know? 35K maybe for the base model.
And I think you get a lot of tax breaks though, right?
You get a lot of tax breaks, and I think you could make it work for you, really. Because you could probably get up to 100 miles a gallon all the time. Because you're only filling up when you really need it, when you go over 40 miles in a day. So you could probably save, well, the average person spends about $3,500 a year on gas. So you could probably save $2,500 of that, or, you know, $3,000 of that. So if you think about the purchase price, say you're paying it off over 5 years, well, you're going to save $12,500 just on, you know, the price of gasoline over that time.
Oh, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of that. I guess, according to my Wikipedia article here on the Chevy Volt, most people drive like 40 miles or less a day. So this would basically cover that, right? Most people drive the range of this vehicle. So theoretically, you wouldn't really need gas, as you just said, hardly at all. And the engineers have even thought of that. I guess the gas tank is pressurized because they don't want the gas to evaporate, because you never use gas sometimes. A lot of people would never use it, so they have a system built in so the gas doesn't evaporate out of the tank.
Yeah, and probably you must have to keep your gas pretty well too, because you're not using it very much, so you only use it once in a while. So I think I'd want to put a little stabilizer or something in there, you know, because I think I would use very, very little gas.
So how do you think the handling is?
Oh, it's fantastic. This car is like, I don't know, it seems to me to be a very, very smooth car. I think it's an awful lot. It's much smoother than anything I've driven lately, that's for sure.
It's smoother than my 96 Honda Civic.
I think it's smoother than our 2001 Echo. Yeah. It's just hard to believe. And it's a lot smoother than my little pickup truck.
So what's the availability? This has been parked outside, you know, the dealership here in Skowhegan for a while. You can get these, though, anywhere. If you can get them in Skowhegan, I assume you can get them anywhere.
Oh, I think so. I think you could probably... I heard that they closed down the plant for a little while because people weren't buying them in the numbers they expected. But then they picked up big time, especially when they got to Europe. Apparently their numbers have picked up and they've started up again and they're building these Volts again.
It was the... it says here in the Wikipedia article, it was the 2011 North American Car of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the 2011 Green Car of the Year, made in Detroit by Chevrolet. And, you know, they got a little bit of government money, which I guess makes it a little bit controversial.
Hey, this car was sort of supposed to save the brand, you know, the GM brand. And I think it might in a funny way, because GM has been kind of resting on its laurels for a very long time. Everybody sort of expected GM to just make your basic car, and, you know, maybe they're selling Buicks in China, but, you know, pretty quickly, everybody's going to even tire of those kind of things over there. So you have to come up with something new, something that offers somebody something completely different from the usual driving experience, and not just the driving experience, but, you know, help them with their lifestyle, etc. And I think somebody who is a long-distance driver, a traveling salesman, or something like that, I think this is going to become a car that can help people out with what they're doing. I know that in America, it isn't just the car. It's also brings along with it your whole raison d'etre, your whole lifestyle is around this car.
Right.
You know, people drive Jeeps because they're outdoorsy people. People do... you know, they, like, you look at cars and you kind of know exactly who that person is driving it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the thing about the Volt is it might be able to bring back kind of an American entrepreneurial person who has got vision. You know, it might say a lot about the person that might be a new group of people in America that are actually looking forward instead of looking behind.
Yeah, I would think maybe 20s and 30s, you know, young professionals may really take to this car.
Well, people were waiting in line to get the Tesla, And I think this is a better vehicle than the Tesla. The Tesla has a fatal flaw. I've heard that basically you run the batteries down and it becomes something called a brick, because it will not move when it freezes, when it the battery is completely drained out. This thing here, you can never drain the battery completely. So it's got a lithium-ion battery, but it can't possibly go down to completely tapped out. So this car is going to keep going. And even if you run out of juice, the
gas motor... It's got a 1.4 gas engine inside, four-cylinder, right?
Yeah, which starts it right up and charges up that the batteries.
It also has regenerative braking, right, to charge while you're driving. Hit the brakes right now.
So I hit the brakes right now. I'm down to 37 miles per hour. It's storing in the battery right now because we're going down a hill.
Can you describe the inside? Because it looks like there's a green spinning ball that says Excel and Brake. Can you describe the dashboard? It looks kind of cool.
The dashboard is a really nice thing. It has sort of two screens. One screen over here to the right tells you kind of the temperature and various things. And this screen that's right in front of your steering wheel tells you how fast you're going in fairly big numbers, tells you braking, what you're, you know, I think that means you're charging a little bit as you're braking. And it also has a sort of a column, a green column that tells you how many miles you have left on your charge and how many miles you have total before you have to go to a gas station. So I think it's a very clear display here. Now, I find the other display to be kind of distracting, but this is nothing new.
It's a big screen. It looks like it's about a 7-inch screen, so you're right in the front, in the middle, right below the rear mirror, right on the dashboard. It's about 7-inch screen. It says volt. It says the date. Temperature is 43 degrees outside. 12:18 p.m. Why don't you like it?
Well, I don't like it because this is a very common thing for cars nowadays. But you've got the one screen to look at. You got your other screen to look at, and then you have a bigger screen which represents like the real world. But I think that it's kind of a it kind of is distracting from your driving. Of course, you know, you're always looking at gauges and things, but this way you have almost like a TV set up right in front of you.
Right.
And I know that it's very common on all sorts of cars, but I just think it's another sort of a distraction from what is happening out there.
That maybe that's the on-call system or something?
Oh, yeah.
OnStar, does it have GPS too?
Yeah, OnStar and GPS would all be on this screen on your right. And also, of course, the backup camera. So it does a lot of things, and I understand that, and I can see why you need this stuff, but I wish you could get a simpler version that didn't have all that junk.
It has a telephone button up here on the, this is on the ceiling.
Yep, so you can call OnStar if you need it. Let's not touch it, though, because who knows.
I'm not going to touch it.
Yeah. Sorry, nothing. I just don't want it to, you know, become
our... That would be
cool
if we could have a review of the OnStar system, but I'm sure the dealership would not.
Now, wait a minute. We have got to turn something on because we're getting a little bit of fogging on the inside of the window.
A little bit of fogging.
Now, I don't know what we should do. What do you think? Maybe a little bit of... We could roll down the window very slightly. No, I think we're going to be good.
Yeah, I think that'll probably do it.
We just did a little bit of fan.
It's cold outside, but it's warm in here.
Toasty in here. It's really nice to be in something
quiet.
Warm.
This could be... This is just so much different about... I turn on the music, but I don't want to deal with that.
No, we don't need any
music.
But
I bet it's really nice because you don't hear any of the engine while you're listening to music. I bet it has a really nice sound system.
Oh, it's great.
This thing is quiet.
This thing is so quiet. Right now we're at a four corners intersection. There's absolutely nothing here. There's just hay bales.
And a dirt road straight ahead.
And a dirt road straight ahead. This is like the crossroads here, like, you know, from... those old blues songs.
Robert Johnson.
So we hopefully...
Are we at a crossroads,
yeah.
Ivor, with our fossil fuels and
yes.
our car problems right now?
Yes, we are at an extreme crossroads. And this is a possibility here. And I think this is going to be more for people who are in the upper middle class are going to be able to get a car like this and going to be able to drive around and continue car culture. For the rest of us, I think we're going to be lucky if we end up with something like the gem car. In other words,
your
get around.
My tiny little car, right?
Yeah, my tiny little car, which is an electric, all-electric car. And so then you could get around your town, you could get your groceries, you could do some things. But I think out in the rural areas, we're going to have diesel trucks that are going to be used to lug agricultural commodities and people occasionally. And we're going to have little cars to get around town. And then, you know, the high mucky mucks might be able to drive around in a vehicle like this, which is pretty nice.
So you don't think that they could come up with a middle or lower middle class vehicle? I'd love to have an electric tiny little pickup truck.
I would love it, but I don't see them doing it because I don't see car culture in general making it past the next 4 or 5 years. In general. Most people are going to be kind of out of big car culture pretty soon.
Do you think a vehicle like this would help? Because it does have a little bit of gasoline. It's got a small gasoline engine. So people wouldn't think, some people that have driven their whole life with a gas-powered car completely, that they wouldn't think this would be necessarily a golf cart, all battery. That maybe it would be, it's not just a hybrid, a bridge technology, it's also a bridge culturally for people to drive a different kind of vehicle.
Yeah, I think it is definitely a bridge. I mean, this is the first real bridge because, you know, like with a Prius, you do fill it up with gas and the gas motor comes on quite a bit and the electric motor comes on some. This is all electric with a gasoline backup.
Right, that's different.
So I think it's a little different, and I think you could definitely use this thing, you know, to commute a long way. And I guess what I'm saying is I know this car would work. But I just don't think the jobs are going to pay enough money to really commute a long way unless you're a doctor, lawyer, Indian chief. You know, I mean, look who started out with cars was the doctor and, you know, the biggest people in town. So I think that's where it's going to end as car culture goes.
That's where it ends.
Yeah.
So this is pretty good. So... it has like a special plug, but you can actually just plug it into a 120 or a 220.
Yeah, you can plug it into
110 or 220, right?
You can plug it into 220 if you have, you know, and just a regular 220. And the great thing is you can plug it into 110, which means if you were at a motel or you're at a friend's house or something, you can just say, I'd like to use this, your plug, and just use a long extension cord. It has to be a fairly beefy extension cord.
Right.
And plug yourself right in to 110, and you'd be getting a lot of your juice.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty interesting, because if I have to drive from Skowhegan to family on the coast, that's longer than, say, the Nissan Leaf range, which is all battery. And, you know, you'd have to have somebody who has a special charger to recharge it if I ran out. Where this is, you could basically plug it into my sister's house.
Oh, yeah. I mean, every night you could, every time you go someplace, it makes every single person who has a regular old plug a gas station. So I think that's a much better idea than having these special charging stations. And, you know, you're not going to find your way to a charging station. You're going to find yourself, you know, at a friend's house, and you're going to plug it in, and, you know, you're just going to get electricity wherever you can get it. I think it's a wonderful innovation. We're just passing by a bunch of cows.
Yep.
The countryside, beautiful countryside
right
now.
Beautiful sunny day. What do you think of the view? I mean, not the view, but the dashboard comes up at a pretty steep angle. Is that just for, aeronautics?
Must be aerodynamics.
Aerodynamics, yeah.
This vehicle looks a lot like, it's funny because it's sort of chopped off in the back like a Prius. It looks an all, that must be a very aerodynamic shape. So what happens is, you know, you kind of you look for the best shape that's going to move through the air the best. And I think this tilted windshield is better than, I've seen it on a lot of cars.
Right.
Much better than a flat windshield, because a flat windshield would stop the wind and, you know, drag.
We cut right through it.
And we're anywhere over 30 miles an hour, you need something aerodynamic. If you're
going 47 miles an hour.
Yeah, and it slips right through the...
Quiet as a...
air.
Basically, all you hear is the tires. You don't hear any...
I don't even really hear the tires. I know they're down there, but it's... a little bit, now that you mentioned.
Just kind of running by. So we're driving an electric vehicle by Farms. That sounds to me, you know, call me an optimist, but I hope that's kind of the future that where we need to go. Electric cars by Farms. Kind of the mission of Sugar House Journal in sustainable communities.
Well, we have a lot of friends that are... vendors at the farmer's market. I was just down at the farmer's market in downtown Skowhegan.
Yeah.
And a lot of vendors who are down there, and they come in from just a couple miles away. So something like this, or an electric truck, as you were mentioning before, would work very well for them because they can come in, sell their wares, and go back out. I mean, you know, these things are not just niche things. These things would work for farms, people who are getting to jobs not too far away.
Right.
And this one here could get you a job anywhere.
Now, we once interviewed John Howe, who has a solar chainsaw and a solar golf cart. It would be nice if this, you could also plug it, you know, just park it outside and have it charge on the sun.
Well, you could do that, but, you know, we had another car called a Sunny V.
Yeah.
And it was a really neat idea, but we had a little solar panel on it.
Right.
And even that solar panel, we had just one on it. We could have probably put a few more on there.
Yeah.
But it didn't do that much of the electricity needs for the vehicle.
You had to really plug it in.
Yeah, I would say a better idea would be to have a solar array on your house or a garage.
Okay.
And then you plug this car into it, and this becomes the, you know, the battery for it.
But it'd be nice to have like a port, like a, instead of a spare tire, you have a spare solar panel that just folds out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Are we looking at that, inventing that?
Well, I've done it.
That's the future.
I've done it. You can do it with any car. I have a solar panel thing that just rolls out in the front of your car and charges your battery if you need it.
I should have known you had that.
I have that for my truck, of course.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I had a boat that...
Maybe we could have one for the solar cars. I mean, the electric cars of the future.
Oh, easily. I mean, you can easily do that. You know, they could, the Prius, what they did is they added a feature where you can have a solar roof, and then that works your AC so that when you step into the car, it's not hot. Which is, you know, it sounds a little frivolous, but of course you're not using any fossil fuels to keep your car nice and cool.
Right. But even here in Skowhegan, where we are surrounded by cars, there's cars for sale everywhere. I mean, yesterday I stopped to look at a pickup truck. I'm interested in buying another. Do you think, and I know you spoke about that earlier before, but do you think we could have the same kind of a culture, this many cars, but everybody driving electric, which is what Chevy would like you to think? Is that possible?
No.
Why?
It's not.
No, why not?
Because despite, you know, they're always telling you we have plenty of gas and oil and everything's fine, and don't worry. The fact is that we have a couple of swing producers like Saudi Arabia that are not pumping out enough to really keep it going. So I don't think that every person in America is going to be driving around in a vehicle that takes 3 gallons of, you know, gas and oil a day. I mean, forget it. Right now, you know, you think about it, that's, right now, that's $12 a day. Basically, every American is spending $12 a day just to keep themselves fed and warm, and, you know, the whole society for us.
Right.
So, when that goes up, let's say it doubles.
Right, to $8 a gallon.
Yeah, we're talking $24 a day. Now, everybody is not going to have $24 a day just to dump into, you know, to keep themselves driving around in a giant box. The first thing that's going to go is that, because you probably want to eat. That's a big part of it.
Keep your house warm.
Yeah, eat and keep your house warm. I mean, you know, think of the priorities. And so, you know, people are going to be dropping vehicles. Now, they're not going to, it isn't going to be that obvious to you, because, you know, there are some people that are going to have the money to continue driving gigantic vehicles, or they'll just make that happen. They'll just drive the vehicle even though they're not eating. But overall, it's not going to work to have everybody have gigantic vehicles for the rest of our time here. You know, the United States is far past its prime as an oil province. We peaked in 1970, so there's, you know, we're well past that, and we're down to about, well, less than half of what we produced back in 1970. So I can't see how we're going to bump that back up, even with all the Bakken and the tar sands and all the things we're doing. We're up to 5.5 million barrels a day, and we use 18. So, you know, anybody can figure it out. They can pencil it out. They can do the math and see if it works out for us. I don't think so.
So here we are. We're just going through an intersection after being stopped, absolutely silent.
And we're coming up to the center of town, and gas is $381.09. It's come down for about $4 the other day. Yeah, $4.05.
Just about.
I think I paid $4.09 on the highway. Yeah. So the thing about it is that's a lot. It makes driving around kind of expensive. But we have not used a drop of fossil fuel in our whole little trip here. And we've driven about 20 miles.
Yeah, out through the countryside.
So it just shows you that there is another way to do things. And I think Art Haynes, as he says in Infinity Miles Per Gallon.
Right, he's the inventor of the sun electric vehicle, solar car.
He says one thing it shows you is it shows you there is another way to do things, which I think is a major part of it. I mean, you know, you just have to see there is another way to do things, and we're not stuck with the paradigm that we're in right now. There are other ways of doing it.
And maybe Infinity Miles Per Gallon helped that, because, you know, when that was made, when we made that 4 or 5 years ago, you never saw an electric car like this. Now there are. I mean, you just have to get people thinking differently.
Yeah, well, I think probably Revenge of the Electric Car probably did a lot more for that. But our little movie was on YouTube.
Yep.
So if people want to check it out, you can still check it out. It's on YouTube, and it's called Infinity Miles Per Gallon. And it's a 14-minute movie that has gotten a lot of hits.
Oh, and we should say that also, this is Sugar House Journal podcast. I think it's going to be number 3.
Yes.
I'm Nelson Cole. Ivor is driving. And we also have a blog now, blog.sugarhousejournal.com, which I just started last night.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was a late night, so we can start posting to that. So I'm going to probably maybe put up a picture, if I can, of this nice reddish... Is this brick red, or what would you call it? What kind of red would you call it?
Yes, it's a brick red Chevy Volt, and it just told us we were really close to the building, so it told us to stop. I like the way it tells you this kind of thing, so that you really can't make mistakes. And no, oh, there's my phone, but I'll
good timing.
Talk to them very quickly. Hello? Hi. Oh, I don't remember that.
Wrong number.
I don't think it was something. I'm sorry. Am I still being recorded?
No, we paused it.
Good,
so
thank God.
Fine. You're fine, okay, Mr. Muffin. But I want to say that to start the car, you just hit a power button. It looks like the power button like on an iMac or something, or a PowerBook.
Exactly. And when MacBook. We hit it, I'm going to turn it on again. We're going to hit it. You have to have the key somewhere near it, because it's an electronic thing where the key just opens it up. And then when you hit that button, it flashes blue, and it kind of just... warms up a little.
A little push of air through the fan.
Yep. Tells you to put on your seatbelt, which I should. And
we're back at the dealership, though, now.
Yeah, we're back at the dealership. It's just sort of, it's on right now, but completely quiet.
Well, that's pretty good. We've done 28 minutes test driving the Chevy Volt, and that was a lot of fun.
I thought it was great, yeah. I don't know if it's going to be the thing that saves the American car culture, but I'll tell you what, it's been awfully fun driving it around.
Well, who knows what the future will bring, but I think we got a little taste of it here today. So for Sugar House Journal Podcast, this is Nelson.
And this is Ivor.
See you next time.
Adios.